Okay. Well, once more, good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Short story, short sermon. We can only pray. Real quick, where did Art go? I don't know where Art went. Did we pray for the sick during the prayer time? Was he praying for the ill? I missed out on the beginning of the prayer. Did he pray for the sick? Mila, okay. My aunt, okay. Yeah, Michelle, okay. I just want to make sure we're praying for the sick. That's what we do at church. Yeah. So we prayed, okay, great. And also, our worship leader couple, Cindy and Lord Will. Will is has a cold, and so just let me pray real quick for just some sick folks, Lord. Father, we want to be thorough and just tene about, Lord Jesus, you healed while you were here on earth. You healed everything in Galilee, and there was no sickness to be found because you were here. Father, we await your return, the return of your son. In the meantime, you've sent us to be on the mission of healing the sick. So, Father, we pray. We pray for Michelle's grandmother. We pray for Michelle's mother and all of the concerns there. We don't know how much longer Granny has, but, Lord, we pray for her not to suffer and to be discomforted more than is necessary. We pray for your hand of mercy on her family there in the Philippines. Father, we pray for Lord Will, and as he's just battling a small cold, we don't know how it is, but Father, we just ask that you'd keep him strong and healthy so that he's able to do the work that you have for him to do. And Father, for all of us in our families who have loved ones who are under the weather or going through infirmities, we ask for your hand of healing to bring us whole, make us whole and complete. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to read together from verse 22 through 25, and I think it's there. All right, so yeah, let's read together. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." The very word of God. Amen? Amen. So, well, where do we begin? You know, this is just one story. I know that many of you probably heard this story many times or even have heard a sermon about it. And it's in three of the four gospel accounts. And if you think of what you could symbolize as something that shows death and destruction, maybe you could think of something like war, just massive death and destruction. Or maybe you could think of something like disease. One of my coworkers told me about a terrible online game where the game, I think the name of the game is called Plague. Yeah, so you know the game? Okay, well, there's mercy here for you. So I guess there's a game called Plague, and the I guess you are trying to come up with a sickness, the goal of which is to take over the whole world. And so that's one way. But you know what? Actually, the ancient people, as far back as you can go, they understood it's not war, and sickness is one way to get rid of people. But the biggest symbol, the greatest picture that you could come up with to describe death and to show death's destructive power is a storm. Yeah, I know, we've come up with nuclear warheads and atomic bombs, but those who know could tell you, atomic bombs have nothing compared to your old-fashioned hurricane. Just a regular typhoon makes atomic bomb look very small. Go back to Genesis. There was a great storm that wiped out the entire population of the world, except for eight. The ancient people knew if you could make an image of something that could truly destroy all of us, it is a storm. It is a storm. And interesting enough, Jesus came with those three things in mind: war, sickness, and storms. He came to bring peace, to break down walls of division between Jews and Gentiles, between slave and free, between men and women. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And when you think about diseases, you couldn't find a disease while he was in Judea. It says in Matthew and in Luke and in Mark, he pretty much healed everyone who would come to him. There was no power of sickness upon him. And then we come to this story where it talks about a storm. The storm. Okay, I'm going to read to you something that's not on the screen and not in your bulletin, something you probably did not anticipate. Just go ahead and listen. If you want to, you can turn there. It's from the book of Psalms. It's Psalm 29. I'm going to read from verse 3. But just three verses. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. Lebanon is known for its mighty cedars. Builds palaces and great temples were built by the cedars of Lebanon. And it says there, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. I've told you my tornado story, so I'm not going to bore you with that. Let me tell you a different one. A different pastor was talking to his congregation. In 1975, this pastor was living out in the countryside. Small congregation, small church. There was a tornado in this town of Virginia. He remembered that the clouds were not gray, they were black. And the sound as the tornado approached was something like a great locomotive engine, just roaring. It was indescribable, but something close to that powerful, massive sound. So the tornado passes, they get out of the house, the underground thing, bunker, wherever they were. They go into the woods just a few hundred feet, and there's about a 100-meter path of thick forests. In the thickest part of the forest, there's a 100-meter road of trees just ripped out of the ground. of trees just twisted out of shape, just naked, all the way down where the tornado swept through. The voice of the Lord thundered. And then, a few months later, this pastor and his family went through another storm. In their church, one of the members who was just a very important part of the church. He was a father. He worked a very important job that provided for his family. He served the church faithfully. He got a disease and he died. And it impacted this pastor and his family so much that 3 months later, they had to quit the church and they were in a different city altogether. What the Bible does when it talks about storms from the Old Testament to the New Testament is saying storms are a metaphor for the things in life that are beyond our control. And there are circumstances and situations that they take away lives, they take away jobs, they take away the economics and the finances, they take away relationships, and there's nothing we can do. We're absolutely powerless in the face of these types of circumstances. I know as I look at your faces, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But Jesus is the Lord of the storm. That's what it's showing here. You see, the psalmist in Psalm 29, what I just read, the voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is majestic, the God of glory thunders. What the psalmist is doing is he's listening to the storm, a thunderstorm, and he understands something. It clicks. He's not just saying that God is powerful and God creates the world and so he's more powerful than the storm. No, no, no. Let's go. You have to look at it or think about it. He's saying something so deep and so powerful. He's saying that when he hears the voice of the thunder, he understands the power of nature is only coming from the power of God. The power that the storm has is derived from the power of its maker. The enormous strength of nature is only alone from the great power of God. Are you with me? That's what he's saying. So you hear the voice of the thunder. What he's saying is you're actually hearing the thunderous voice of God. Now, why is he saying this? Because he's trying to communicate something that says, when Jesus wakes up and he hears his disciples, he wakes up and he faces the storm. When Jesus says, peace, be still. That's what Matthew and Mark say in the other stories, okay? He looks at the storm and he just says, peace, be still. What is going to say? She's going to say, peace, be still. And the wind and the waters obey him. He's saying they have to obey him because that's where their authority comes from. And Jesus is saying this to us. And please tell, I want you to know something. These stories, they're not just random stories. John says at the end of his gospel, he says, we could tell thousands of stories, but we only have these to tell you. Because we want to teach you something about Jesus. So when we look at this story, when we examine it and go deep into it, we are changed, we're transformed. And here's the first thing. The rebuking Jesus shows us this. Jesus looks at the storm, the thing that's out of control for us, the thing that makes our life completely chaotic, the thing that threatens to destroy. Jesus looks at the storm. He is the Lord of the storm. And it says, I laugh at that thing. I look at the face of the storm, and it has no power over me whatsoever. And if you put your trust in me, you put your hope in me, you look to me as your refuge, as your tower, as your stronghold, you come to me, you'll be able to face these storms because I am able to face these storms. That's the first thing. And so Jesus is, as the Lord of the storm, is saying, yeah, peace, be still. I can stop this because it gets its power from me. Listen, the Hindu yogis and the Buddhist priests, they can say about Jesus, they can say, Jesus was a holy man. And they would be right. And maybe the Jewish rabbis or the Muslim imams, they would say, Jesus is a prophet, a great prophet on the line of Moses and David and Abraham. They would be right. Christians, we take it further than that. We don't just say Jesus is a holy man or a prophetic man. We don't say Jesus is a good man. We say Jesus is the God man. We take it a whole lot further than just holy and prophetic. We say, no. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. I have found David, my servant. With my sacred oil, I have anointed him. I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Amen, somebody. Now, the Christian can say, I understand. The storm is big, and this is way out of my control. I have zero power over it. But my God, my Jesus, is my Lord and Master. And I put my trust in him, and I have refuge in him. He rebukes the storm. He is the Lord of the storm. The first thing we see about Jesus is the rebuking Jesus. Let me tell you a second thing. The second thing we see of Jesus is the sleeping Jesus. We took it out of order, okay? But what is it about the sleeping Jesus? Now, it's nice for me to come up here and talk for 10 minutes and say, Jesus is the Lord of the storm. There's nothing that he cannot face, and he can still the waters with just the word of his power. That's great. It's comforting. It's nice. But all of us understand, what about that sleeping bit? What about that part where Jesus is just knocked out in the back, okay? Is it because he's a man? And he's tired? Yeah, probably. He's been walking a long time. He's been talking to so many people. He's been healing diseases, casting out demons. Okay? Yeah, maybe he's tired. But it goes deeper than that. You see, here's the disciples. Here's the storm is coming, the waves and the wind, and the water is flooding the boat. They're panicking. They're professional watermen. They're professional fishermen. At least half of them are. Okay? They know this lake. This lake, and by the way, this lake, it's about 20 kilometers long, 10 kilometers wide. You look out at the sea right there, out there, it's about as big as that, okay? And Jesus is telling them, let's go across. It's no small thing. And there's all kinds of storms that come up all the time. So they're used to it, but they're panicking. And Jesus is asleep. What is it showing us? God will not be rushed. God can take his time. God can allow the storm to rage and to blow. God can even allow the boat to become heavy. God will allow us to get wet and cold and tired. What do we do with that? What do we do with it? Another Psalm, 44. Wake up! Wake up, O God. Why do you sleep and slumber? Does that sound familiar? Right? That's the disciples. Epistata, epistata, master, master, we're going down. Jesus, he wakes up, right? I don't know how long he takes. He's probably like, oh, this is so good. I'm falling asleep, you know? What? Huh? Maybe he stretches. I don't know. I don't know. And I don't even know if he yells at the storm. Peace! I don't know. But it's crazy that the disciples are, hurry up, and Jesus is, I'm going to take my time. Because what do you know about the storm? What do you know about the purpose of this storm? What do you know that God is doing? There's a couple of things here. Number one, if God's ways are higher than our ways, as the heavens are above the earth, it makes sense that God will not be reasonable for some of the time, okay? It makes sense that God will not make sense to us. Does that make sense? Okay? My kids, all right, they don't know half the stuff that I'm doing, even though they don't enjoy it, all right? I'm taking off their clothes. I'm wiping their face with water, and it's wet. I'm changing them, and it's uncomfortable with these cold, wet wet tissues. You know, I'm making them go to sleep when it's too early and they're too excited. They have no idea. It doesn't make sense to them. Why am I taking so long? They want me to hold them right away, and I say, just wait a second. Okay. God, a higher order of being, just as we are a higher order of being than a plant, knows his way and his time. That's the first thing. But the second thing, if I can remember it now, is that Jesus, excuse me. All right. So Jesus allows us to wait, and he's sleeping. And he says, okay, yeah, you can't hurry me. Peace be still. Okay. Guys, I'm so sorry. I forgot my second point on that second point. So, yeah, it's okay. I got 10 minutes left. We got to keep going anyway. All right, so there's the rebuking Jesus, the sleeping Jesus, all right, and the last thing we'll go is the questioning Jesus, the questioning Jesus. So Jesus, after the whole episode with the storm, the climax of the story is not peace be still. That's not the climax. The climax of this story is, who is this? Who is this man? Because Luke is showing us again and again, many people are saying, even in chapter 8 and in chapter 9, who is this? Who do people say that I am? Who are you? And so he's trying to get us to identify who is Jesus. And look, my friends, this is not for non-believers. This is for Christians. Luke is writing to Theophilus, who is a disciple of Christ. And he's talking to a believer, and he's saying, Theophilus, this is who Jesus is. So we stand to benefit as we look at this. And so there's the rebuking Jesus, the sleeping Jesus, who lets the storm just go on longer than we think we should. Okay? And finally, there's the questioning Jesus. He looks at the disciples and says, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Interesting, interesting. Where is your faith? He doesn't say, you don't have faith. He doesn't say that. In other places, he says, you have little faith, but he's not saying, you don't have. You should have faith. You zero faith. No, he's saying, you have it. Why aren't you using it? You're a disciple. Chapter 8, you saw me in chapter 7. I raised a child from the dead. You saw me cast out demons. You saw me healing thousands of people. You know what I'm capable of. Where is your faith? You have it. Where is your faith? This is encouraging for us, okay? Because look, we're talking about fear. I stood right in front of you. I talked about my fears about this silly virus, okay? Jesus is not saying, don't have fear. He's not saying that. He's not saying, you have these emotions that come up, it's anxiety, now you need to press them down. You need to control. No, he's not saying that. He's saying, you have these circumstances all around you, you're looking at a situation, you are allowing the situation to control how you think. You are allowing the circumstance to affect how you behave. Where is your faith? It should be the other way around. Faith does not follow feelings. Okay? And so here's how it works. Here's how it works. I was trying to meditate and think, what was he talking about with the faith thing? And I went around it a little bit. Let's take a little detour and talk about love, okay? What is love? I'm learning. I'm 43, I can't remember. Whatever. I'm in my 40s, okay? And I'm just understanding the meaning of love, okay? Love is a word, and we think it's a feeling. But let me start with this. To my children, my babies who are 2 years old, they can barely speak. They don't know the word love. But they do know the word hug, right? What is love for my children? Physical affection, okay? What is another word for love? This is what love means. This is something I'm discovering. My wife, taking care of our kids, managing our home, sometimes she's so tired she just conks out before she's able to finish the housework. There's dishes, there's the floor, there's the garbage, there's the table, there's so many things. I'm learning. Love means to serve. To love is to serve. All right? I know I can say, honey, I love you. Honey, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yeah, but there's a table to be wiped. There's dishes to be cleaned. There's a floor to be vacuumed. There's diapers to be cleaned, changed, right? So to my children, love is physical affection. To my wife, love is service, right? And in many ways, love is sacrifice. 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 Look, if I'm going to love something, that means I'm going to have to give up something in order for this to have what it needs. To give up my rights, to give up my time, to give up my treasures, to give up my own sense of worth so that this person, these people, or this family can have something. So it's sacrifice. All right, so love is this word that has many different manifestations, whether it's physical action, whether it's a behavior, okay? So faith, where is your faith? We're going to close soon. I'm thinking about faith, episteo, okay, to believe in something. What does it mean to be a Christian? Ah, I just remember my second point. Okay. Christian, all right? The Christian says, I believe in Jesus. I believe he's God. I believe if I trust in him, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Yeah. The Christian says, because I trust in Jesus, there's something about my faith. So faith is one, at least one thing. Faith is trust. I'm going to put my weight on this. I don't understand it. I don't know how to get through it. I don't know the way around it. I don't know. And maybe God put it here on purpose. So the only thing I could do is trust that he knows how long it's going to take. He knows that he's going to take me through it. The best thing I could do, the only thing I could do, is trust in him. What are the disciples supposed to do? Jesus, the storm is coming. Now, we trust you. We know you're God. We just need to wake you up. look, we're getting wet, it's cold, we're tired. Could you make this a little bit more comfortable for us? Can you calm the waves down? What's Jesus going to do? Really? I don't know what he's saying. Okay, this is just in my head. Really? You want this to be more comfortable? You want this to be a little bit easier for you? Listen, I'm here to die on a cross, not in a storm. So this up and down, this is actually helping me sleep a little bit, okay? And maybe if you had, you have your faith, or maybe you left it back on the shore, I don't know. But you could be using it right now to go to sleep yourself. I know you're tired. I know you're weary. Faith is trusting in the storm. Faith also, here it is, confidence. The Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Very few times the Bible uses the word confidence, but here's what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, I am confident in this, that he who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it until the day that Jesus comes back. Amen. He's confident. That's faith. Because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on him. Amen? There's an expression that says, hang on to Jesus. When you're going through difficulty in this world, hang on to Jesus. Yeah. Hang on to Jesus. That's good. But faith is understanding, more than me hanging on to Jesus, Jesus is hanging on to me. And it's not dependent on my grip on Jesus, it's dependent on Jesus' faithfulness to hold me and carry me all the way. Faith is confidence in Jesus. Trusting in Jesus, confidence in Jesus. And finally, faith, here it is. This might say ouch for some of you. Faith is being able to wait on Jesus. I don't know if you have your Bible app open in your device. If you just type in the word in your search button, in your search feature, just the word wait, and you go to the book of Psalms, here's half of the Psalms is all about waiting, okay? Hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. Lord, I wait for you, and you will answer, Lord, my God. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. I wait for your salvation, Lord, and I follow your commands. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my faith. Wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait. What is faith? Trust, confidence, and waiting. I know there's more, but at least those three, okay? So Jesus, I'm coming to you, and I'm trusting in you. Now, the disciples, they didn't have something that we have. Those 12 that were in the boat, they didn't have something that all of us in here, in this room, have, and that is this. You ready? The voice of the Lord thunders. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. At one point, Jesus is on the cross, and he hears the voice of the Lord, something worse than that storm. When the voice of the Lord looked at Jesus on the cross, here's what he heard, the voice of the Lord thundering. Away from you, away from me, you wicked, never to return. That's what he heard. And when Jesus stretched out on the cross, he bowed his head and he was ripped out and twisted out so that we could be accepted by God. Jesus faced the storm of God's wrath and judgment so that when we put our trust in Jesus, when we put our trust and faith in him, the storm will pass over us. I read that Psalm 91 today. It's the storm of God's judgment. It's the pestilence and the disease of God's wrath. And because we put our trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross, we can have confidence that he will finish what he began in us until the day of completion. So we go to the cross every single time, every single time. So would you come with me? I'm going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads in humility. We lay down our pride and our arrogance. Lord, we set aside our anxieties and our worries. And if we still carry them, we will lay them at your feet. You are the Lord of the storm. You are enthroned above the waters. And you are in control. So we submit to you, we follow you, we trust you, we will wait upon you, for you are our help and strength, our help in time of trouble. You are our shield and our refuge, our tower of strength. Oh God, hear our cries and have mercy on us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and rise as we sing our closing song together.